Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Sounds like we need to make sure your microphone is turning. Push the red button.
Okay.
How's there that? It is. Yeah.
All right. Let me start again.
Yeah, do it again.
This is a great Wellness Wednesday, and this is also Elder Care Radio, Southern Utah's first and only radio program dedicated to improving healthcare in our community. Every week, we strive to bring useful information to our listeners so that you can live your best life. Take control of your healthcare by engaging and coordinating your providers and be part of your own healthcare team. We want you to reach your healthcare goals. So we're excited to be here today and have some conversations. We've got some topics we'd like to talk about. And doing this research, Andy, sometimes you go down these rabbit holes and you find out this information you don't expect.
Well, before we go too far, we've been told that we're supposed to give our telephone number in the beginning and the end because people don't get that. So 435-477-6999 if you do have any questions, or our website is pathwayhospicecare.com. So one thing that's kind of been a hot topic recently, and it's been in the news. Last month, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit affirmed that Medicare beneficiaries have a constitutional right to appeal if hospitals reclassify them as observation patients. So, Andy, have you ever been in the hospital or have you ever heard, hey, we're going to keep you for observation, and what does that mean?
I've heard that, but I don't know that I quite understand what they're talking about.
I don't think anyone does.
No, but if you were going to guess, it would be, well, we want to make sure that you're going to be okay, right?
Sure you don't die, yeah.
We're going to observe.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the definition that Medicare has, and so we kind of wanted to go through
and
this today.
And other insurance companies, they all kind of follow the same course.
Right, and they put policies in place that hospitals have to follow and work within. And so this observation status is a little different than people might expect. And so we kind of wanted to cover some of that. So observation status is when your physician needs more time to determine if you need to be admitted to the hospital. Okay, so we either have outpatient or inpatient care at the hospital. And so you're not admitted yet. You're basically outpatient status.
And that part seems to make sense, but how does it affect you?
If you go to the hospital and you are put in a bed and held overnight or a couple of days or 3 days, you guess you're admitted, right? Well, you're not. Observation status.
Wait. You're not?
No.
You're not.
No.
So, and that's the point that we really want to make today, is that when you're in observation, you're not admitted to the hospital.
So one thing we should all understand is that insurance carriers, including Medicare and Medicaid, have criteria for the hospital in order for them to be able to bill. So in the background, hospitals are making determinations about how to classify your care so that they can bill most appropriately and effectively for you. No, for them. And so you have to, again, be your own best medical advocate, because when they say observation status, it has a very real effect on you and what portion you're going to pay, what's covered, what's not covered.
Yeah, and we're laying there scared to death for our lives, wondering what the world is going on, and they're playing insurance games.
Yeah.
Well, the problem that the hospital has, I'll be on their side on this.
I won't.
If they want to be paid, they have to conform with the rules. But what happens is it is much easier to put somebody on observation whether they needed to or not, because then they will get paid regardless.
They're going to get paid either way, and they have no risk. The problem is for you. Once that's happened, if you haven't stood up for yourself and asked for more information or a reclassification, when you get out of the hospital, you have this exorbitant bill that you're fighting, saying, wait, I really was in the hospital for those 3 days. Why isn't my rehabilitation covered? Or why aren't I entitled to home health or, to extra help? And it is all has to do with your classification. And do any of us know that? And one of the requirements for the hospitals is to sit with you and explain it to you and get you to sign a paper. But as you said, Andy, do you really understand what they're saying at that time? You just want to be made
well. Yeah, you don't even care. You just want to get better. It's
and how many times do they sit in and read that paperwork with you? Or do they just say, this is one of your insurance forms I need you to sign here?
Mm-hmm.
I hear that all the time.
Right. So there's two different directions we want to go in this conversation today. One of that is about the financial aspects of it, and one of them, and the other side is the care complications. Mm-hmm. So let's start with care. I think that's a good place to start, and then we'll finish up with the finances. So on the care side, for you to be able to qualify under Medicare or under most insurance to be able to go into a rehab facility or a skilled nursing facility after you've been in the hospital, you have to be admitted in the hospital for 3 days. Okay.
Admitted, not part of observation.
That's right. Hmm. But if you're in the hospital for 3 days under observation or observation for 2 days and then continue your care for another day in the hospital, you don't qualify Medicare to pay for your continuing care.
That's not cool.
No.
If the hospital admits you and then you are released and you come back to the hospital within 30 days, that's a problem for the hospital because that's a readmittance issue and they don't want to do that under the same problem. So the hospital has reasons and agendas to not admit people if they can help it. So what happens is if you go in and you have a cardio problem or some other issue and you're not admitted, but you are there for a couple, 3 days, or you get admitted later and you don't get that admittance backed up to the original intake date, then when you want to qualify for that continued care of a SNF facility or rehab, you're going to have to pay for that. Medicare doesn't cover that. Or you're going to argue with Medicare over it
later
and probably lose. And there's a number of steps, and we'll go through that, you know, some processes that you can do to try and argue. But the most important thing is for you right from the beginning to advocate for yourself. When you go to the hospital and they use the word observation, that should be a key word for you. You should start asking questions right then and there. Why? Why am I being admitted for observation, and what are we looking for?
So once again, we hear that word and everybody knows what the word observation means. So we say, okay, yes, that's what we want. Please keep me alive. I don't feel good.
Yeah.
But there's these key words that we try and help you understand so that it sparks a thought for you to ask more. Keep in mind, if observation is tied to a classification, then you want them to reclassify you so that you pay the least amount at the end, right? We've paid for insurance all this time. We want them to cover our needs when we have needs.
So when you go to the hospital and they talk about observation, you should ask them to qualify what they're observing. Okay, so what are we looking for?
And why, yes.
Yeah, why are we looking for that? What are we looking for? And when will we know? It may be that you have to have a test, okay? You may have gone in for a cardio issue. You've got some chest pain, which is one of the three most common reasons, chest pain, abdominal pain, and I forget the other one off the top of my head, but...
Syncope.
Yeah, syncope and falling down, okay? Those are the three main ones, but that's still only like 28% of all the reasons that people, elderly people go to the hospital. But if you show up there, they do need to run some tests to determine whether it's a heart issue or not. So it's not unreasonable for you to be observed for the period of time that test is being run and then processed. That could be a few hours. It could be 4 hours. It could be overnight. That's not completely unreasonable. But you should know when they start that conversation how long it should be, and you should be looking for that time to ask again. So what did we find out?
Right.
So that you can be informed about your health care.
Right. You really should be asking a lot of questions. And if you need help with those questions, we are always willing to assist you with that. But if they say observation, don't just take for granted that, okay, they're going to observe and come back and tell me what the problem is. Understand that keeping you for observation has not only a clinical meaning, but also an insurance criteria for you. So if you ask the right questions, then maybe you can ask for a reclassification while they're observing, right?
That's right. Now, there are a couple of rules that I don't know that all hospitals are following, even though there are policies out there. One of them is the double midnight rule, two midnights. And that is if you are in the hospital two consecutive midnights, they have to admit you, or they're supposed to. I'm going to go with they're supposed to. There's a policy.
Yeah.
But if nobody enforces the policy, then that's not the case. So you should know that if there are, you know, if you're going to be there overnight and certainly over the next night, that you should be advocating to be admitted,
mm-hmm.
okay, as soon as possible. If they think it's going to be 2 days, just admit me. Let's get this going.
Right. And the funny thing is usually we say, no, I don't want to be admitted to the hospital. I want to go home, right? Just understand the clinical term versus the consequence of the classification. And that's the part that's so confusing to people, right? We would rather be observed than admitted. But in a financial term, we'd rather be admitted than while they observe. Right?
Because if we're just observed, we lose a lot of potential future benefits that we might have otherwise. In-home care, facility care, that kind of stuff, if that's necessary. And we don't know if it's going to be necessary when we go to the hospital in the first place. We're going with not knowing what's going on. So let's not lose those benefits. And then the other part, on the financial side, certainly if we are going in, so admittance is under your Medicare Part A benefit. And we've mentioned this before. Medicare Part A is what you worked for your entire life. All those payments that
it's
you made.
It's very basic. It's the very basic free Medicare.
That's the free part.
Insurance.
Right? So there are some co-pays that you have to pay for the hospital. But if we go to Medicare Part B, then your Part B is completely different. And most of the time, that's an 80-20 based upon insurance. That means you're paying 20% of what the hospital wants to charge in cash or, you know, out of your bank account for your hospital care if you're only on observation.
Right. And they cover a lot less of your pharmaceuticals under that plan as well. How many of us have been in the hospital and we get out and say, wait, I had insurance. Why is my bill so high? And it comes down to classification status.
Mm-hmm. And so if you find that bill, you should try and argue that because you may be able to get that changed and get that bill reduced significantly. But again, if you're not willing to be actively engaged in your medical care, then you're not going to get those benefits. Now, on the financial side, in 2015, there was a change in the rules, and there's a section on your Medicare payments that's called Comprehensive Ambulatory Payment Classification. And that means that if you are in the hospital for observation, they may be able to put that under that particular classification, and your total out-of-pocket expense in the hospital would not exceed your normal hospital copays. And so you should ask if that's possible, because the hospital may not do that for you automatically. But if you ask, you may get that. So those are, on the financial side, there's a lot of things to consider. So I guess the takeaway, the easy part from this is to start, make sure you understand whether you're in the hospital under observation or not. And if you're not admitted, determine, constantly be asking when you will be admitted, because that's when your status changes.
And be honest with yourself. It's always harder to fight a battle after the determination has been made than prior. So going back and fighting a bill is always more difficult. And you don't always understand the position you're fighting from. When they're saying to you your classification, you know, status, and they say you needed to be admitted to the hospital for 3 days, and you're saying, I was in the hospital 5 days. But no, you were observed, which is technically outpatient, mm-hmm. for two of those days. So those things are, you know, you're saying, I'm going to provide you the verification that I was there. And you provide all that to the insurance carrier, and then the insurance carrier says, yes, see this form you signed? You were in observation for 2 days. So that's an outpatient benefit, and that's covered under Part B. You didn't meet the qualifications. Remember, you will always be healthier if you leave the hospital with a clear understanding of how you can stay healthy or seek additional help for your illness. So know what your illnesses are. That's another problem that they have, that we have as laymen going in, depending on hospitals and care centers and our doctors. Sometimes I think they just take for granted, because they do it every day, that the words they're using, the verbiage that they're choosing, is clear and understood to us. But it isn't. I would never have understood that observation had two classifications, not only a medical and, you know, a clinical term, but it also had an insurance or a financial responsibility or obligation. When they're observing something, ask those questions. Ask what they're looking for. And if it's one thing, then what test is going to be run for that, and then ask for the result. If it's two or three things, ask what tests are, when they're going to be expected, and tell them you want the results as soon as they have the results. You are always going to be healthier if you advocate for yourself.
Well, and no question, if the hospital knows that you're interested in the answers to the questions, they're going to be more interested in making sure you get those, because, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You don't have to be annoying, but just engaged.
Well, that almost sounds ridiculous. I mean, aren't you there because you want the answers? Right. But remember, we've said it 100 times and we'll say it 100 more. Your doctors are going to wait for signs from you of information, how much information you're looking for.
And if the hospital has a choice, they are going to go about it in the way that is easiest for them, not necessarily ideal for you. And the easiest for them is to put you on observation, because then they don't have an issue with Medicare about billing. If they send in a bill for observation, Medicare will pay their part of it. That's not a problem. But if they admit a patient that shouldn't have been admitted, then they have to argue with Medicare about getting
criteria.
Paid. Yeah, the criteria and getting paid.
Yeah, did they meet all the criteria and enter all the correct information? Was the charting complete enough? It's much harder for them to become eligible for billing based on the criteria than it is just to put you simply as an outpatient, and then there's far less criteria or requirements for them.
But if you qualify under those criteria, then get admitted. That's going to be our best advice. So there was a law passed in 2015, and it went into effect in 2017. And this is a part that you need to understand. On March 8th, 2017, required hospitals to obtain a signature on the Medicare Output Observation Notice, acronym MOON, whatever that, you know, that's the best they could come up with, within 36 hours of the start of an applicable observation stay. And what that means is that if you go to the hospital and you check in and you're seen by a doctor, at that point, they have 36 hours, if they're going to put you on observation, to have you sign a form that says you know that you're on observation. Well, 36 hours later, that's a long ways.
Too late. You've already missed a whole day of
admission. We should be having that conversation right at admittance, right when we're there and talking to the doctor. So what do you know now? Am I being admitted to the hospital?
And the other part of that is, again, as we said before, are you reading everything? You know, if you're not going to take a moment to read it, and I understand that, you're in crisis mode. It's the last thing that we feel like we can read and comprehend anything. So turn to the person presenting the forms to you and ask them, form by form, what am I signing here? What am I signing here? They will advocate with you and disclose to you if you ask. And then the comprehension and reading isn't up to them. It's up to them. And they will help you with it. But if you're just going to take a form and sign it, you're going to be sadly disappointed at the end of that stay when you find out how much your financial obligation is, all because you didn't ask the questions. The questions about what the studies are, what they're looking for your a better health outcome, and what financial obligation is going to fall on you.
Right. So here's an action plan and some caveats here. These are things that you should know. You can't directly appeal to the hospital and have them change that determination. The hospital is free to make that decision. However, you can call your primary care physician or one of your physicians and ask them to call the hospital to encourage the hospital to make that change. And that may be a very good tool. If you've got a doctor who has any pull with the hospital and they know what the problem is, they may be able to get that changed. And that's just a phone call. Your doctor should be able to do that for you. If he doesn't, you should ask him why. If that doesn't work, you can try and get an appeal, you know, to the hospital. They're probably going to ignore you. You can appeal to the Medicare billing company. They are probably going to deny that, but that is the first step to be able to making an appeal.
And why would they deny? Because backwards, they can't enforce the criteria that should have been met. It's too late. So someone's going to take a loss, and nobody wants to willingly take a loss.
Right. So if you do need to go into assisted living facilities or skilled rehab. Nursing facilities or rehab, if you need to do that after your hospital stay, ask them to bill it to Medicare anyway. Now, it may get denied, but we at least got this started. They will be able to bill Medicare. Medicare can deny it, and then you have a position to argue from, and you don't have to pay that up front. You can submit a request to be excluded from a benefit, and there's some documents on that. And if this is an issue, give us a call. We'll try and help you walk through this. But so there's a document you can file that gets you excluded, and while that exclusion is being appealed or gone through, they won't bill you for that.
And when they the hospital starts talking about rehabilitation, ask them how much is going to be covered of rehabilitation right then. Because if it is just one additional day in admission status in the hospital, and I've seen this as a common problem because the hospitals are trying to push you out quicker due to the COVID response and the number of patients, the occupancy levels, you advocate for yourself. You stay that one more day in the hospital before they move you over to rehab so that it's covered. 3 days of admission status in the hospital entitles you to the rehabilitation stay under your basic Medicare provision of Part A.
Okay. So now let's talk about reading between some lines. If you have been to the hospital and they put you on observation and then they release you, and then you go back to the hospital and they put you on observation and then they release you and they never tell you what's going on, you should probably understand that they may know some things that they haven't told you. And this is,
they usually do.
This is uncomfortable truth. Realize that in the medical field, there are conversations that many people never want to have with a patient. And they would hope that somebody had it before them. And so if they aren't really put their feet to the fire to have that conversation, they're not going to. And that happens in the hospital all the time. So if there's a pre-existing condition that your primary care physician or one of your other physicians should have talked to you about, the hospital is not going to bring that up to you.
Well, probably not going to bring it up to you. And imagine how uncomfortable it would be. You run to urgent care and they're running through all the information and they look at your doctor's history because your doctor is tied to IHC and they think, why hasn't their doctor talked to them about his heart failure? I think it's up to the doctor to talk to him. So they send you home and they say, you need to seek out your doctor within 24 hours or 48 hours. So you call your doctor and say, hey, I was just in the hospital and they told me to call you. Now the doctor has one of two options. He either understands why the hospital said quickly reach out to your doctor and he tells you, let's talk about your current condition and what's happening and why you keep going to urgent care. Or he checks you out after your stay at the hospital and says, everything still remains about the same and you still don't know.
That's right.
Ask questions.
So if it stays the same, we should know what that is. And again, this is a tough question to ask a doctor. So what really is this? Why is it that I keep going to the hospital and they keep saying, there's nothing we can do, we're going to send you home?
Right, or we've run all those tests.
Yes.
You really do need to advocate for yourself. You need to ask those hard questions. You need to know what your condition is. So ask your doctor to fully disclose your condition.
And if you're not comfortable with that, and you've been in that situation where you've seeked medical care and they say, well, really, there's nothing more to do, give us a call. We will pull up your medical records for you if you authorize it. We will go through those with you and we will give you the frank information about your health status so that you at least have a basis to make some decisions on.
The least we'll do is give you the questions to ask of your doctor so that you know the current status of your condition. That's always helpful. True story, we just had a sweet family call us and say since November they have been at urgent care 4 times. They've kept them for 24 hours, 48 hours, and sent them home, and they still don't know what's wrong with them. When we read the record, we knew exactly what was wrong with them. We told them to go back to their doctor and ask these questions. Then the family knew what they were dealing with. They knew what could be fixed and what couldn't be fixed, and they had choices to go forward of how to deal with their conditions.
And so if you call us, it will cost you nothing. That telephone number, 435-477-6999. We will pull up your medical records. We'll go through it and point out the things that are probably important or imperative for you to know so that you can be well-informed and be a better part of your own healthcare.
We would love to help. We would love to hear from you, love to meet you. Give our office a call, 435-477-6999.
That's Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. It's good to talk to you this week.